echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a digital transformation podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations grow business value in a digital world. Episode 4, The API Product Owner. Today, we'll look at the key roles your organization needs to build a successful API program and how the API Product Owner helps execute your business's vision. Hello, I'm Chris Hood, a digital strategist at Google Cloud. Today, I'm joined by one of Google Cloud's lead digital transformation consultants and a global value advisor, Alicia Patterson. Welcome, Alicia.
Hey, Chris.
How are we doing today?
Doing excellently well.
So today we're going to talk about API product strategies. It is one of those things where customers look at APIs as integrations,
right,
and not as products.
And indeed, it's missing the fact that there's a real shift in mindset at play here. And I think it kind of screams out that your organization is really stuck in the past when you talk about APIs that way. And look, we do ourselves a disservice with the jargon term API. You know, I think that is, you know, one of the sort of problems. But the mindset that I think is the Achilles heel of all of this is this idea that digital is part of your organization that goes and builds apps and websites and increasingly is thinking about other stuff. And it fails to recognize that digital is pervasive. Digital is everything. You know, everything about the way you go to market, the way you build the services you take out to market is actually enabled through digital. So the idea that digital today just means, well, we have a team that's going to build a website and we're going to go to market on the website and we're thinking about apps. And, well, you know, to what degree do we have to think about smart assistants and smartwatches? I think that's a legacy thinking. And the reality is that you instead need to think about the fact that your organization has a set of capabilities of things that you do well, which is the reason you're in business. And you need to think differently now about how you bring those to market. And so in the past, yeah, that may have been sales channels or bricks and mortar stores and now websites and apps and whatever it might be. But increasingly, we see mature organizations thinking instead that their capabilities they will bring to market as a set of APIs. And in some cases, they're going to extend the experience down to the consumer on a device. Right. That's fine. They might own that. But increasingly, they don't need to own the last mile consumption of the product that they're delivering to the market. It's quite right and intentional for them to say, let's leave that to a wider external ecosystem of participants who might build value on top of our core business and then take it to market. And I think it recognizes a real shift in the way that organizations go to market. So part of that we would talk about enabling the app developer as a new channel to market. But at the core of all this is thinking about your product a different way. Your product isn't how it's expressed through the thing that shrink wrapped at the store or the thing that you put on the e-commerce shelf. Your product is the thing that's expressed as an API product that then other people can pick up and use, whether they're existing business partners or third-party developers or whatever it might be.
Yeah, totally agree with all of that. Let's break this down a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's look at the who, what, where, when, why of API products.
Right.
And so starting with the who builds API products?
Yeah, right. It's a really interesting question because I think the go-to answer is, well, this is obviously responsible of the IT part of the organization that is close to the digital assets and backends that you have and where your software developers are. But that's starting at the wrong place, not trivializing the contribution. Of course, it's a core contribution they make. But who builds API products? Well, who builds products today for your organization? That's where the thinking has to start. So the challenge today with the jargonistic term API is you're not getting mind share with the business and product leadership part of your organization. But that's where API products start, is with a business need and an ability to go to market on that business need. And then the actual API itself, the API part of the API product, sure, that can get built by IT.
Well, and I tell customers, look, you all have products that you're already managing in your organization. And part of that product management lifecycle starts with having product owners who are researching industry trends,
right,
understanding what consumers are demanding, and looking at what value those products are directly going to bring back into your organization.
Right.
So
right.
Why not have product managers,
yes,
who are managing your APIs?
Yes. And there's so much work and development that's happened, so much progress in the last, you know, 10, 20 years as I've worked in this space with digital product managers. To your point, well, and not just digital product managers, I think a key part of being a product professional is being grounded in your market, in your customers, spending a lot of time staying very close to what your customers want. But of course, again and again, organizations that build APIs, the people who build those APIs, they're not doing those things because they're not thinking about it as a product. They're not grounded in how the API needs to be used and who the market is and what the market needs are. But that product thinking does actually bring a lot of that maturity of thought when that happens.
Yeah. And I think that gets into then the what. A couple of weeks ago, I was having a conversation on LinkedIn, and somebody was making the comment that ignoring integration scenarios means ignoring about 98% of the use cases for APIs.
Right.
And I replied with a comment, something along the lines of, yes, but even in those integration scenarios, there still is a value proposition behind it. Otherwise, you wouldn't need the integration in the first place. So when we say what are we actually building? It's a combination of things.
Right.
But I think where I tend to align most with is we're building experiences for consumers. Now, you can argue that APIs are integration pieces, that there are experienced APIs, that there are any number of things that APIs can really be used for.
Right.
But this product mindset shifts that thought process to beyond those integrations and to beyond the applications that you are building using those APIs.
Right.
They really become the foundation or the building blocks for entirely new business lines and revenue.
Right, that's right. I think there's a really important thing that you sort of touched on there, right? You know, the product mindset shift of IT isn't just about APIs. Of course it's not, you know. This is about the idea that, as I said before, digital doesn't go away. Digital isn't part of the organization that sits in the basement and works on sort of nerdy stuff. Digital is every aspect of what you're doing in the future. And so indeed, you need to think increasingly, as we've done over the last 20 years, around how you go to market in this digital world. And that means that the product thinking extends more deeply down now into what was traditional IT. So IT organizations, your CIOs, I think are the pinnacle of this. So they think about how do we productize our capabilities, our assets in our IT organization, our digital organization to take those to market. But then to your point, APIs is a key part of that. And I think really importantly, APIs represent a great opportunity to do things differently in a couple of really important ways. So I think one absolutely is now your opportunity to go and light up new channels of opportunity, new channels, new customer bases or new partners. There's new ecosystems that perhaps you could participate in that before perhaps were closed off to you. But I think another part of it too is it does free you up so much from some of the other obstacles you might have to being able to go and seize on those opportunities. So APIs do a wonderful job of creating a layer of abstraction from your traditional back end. And in fact, organizationally, I think that's a really interesting opportunity there as well, where you might have that real product thinking come to bear as you shape the external facing, consumption facing part of the API that you're building.
Right, yeah.
But then elsewhere in the organization, you have people that are quite rightly close to the back-end systems and understand their kind of strengths and weaknesses. And I think it's melding those teams together. So you have the outside-in product thinking that's helping design how the API is built and how it's actually brought to market, which is then supported by the back-end team that brings the core value to that API.
So you just touched on it, and you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but that leads us into this next question. Where in the organization do we see API products?
Right.
And I would even argue, where do those API products get distributed out to the world.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting topic as well, isn't it? We talk a bit about the distinction between external and internal developers, and it's worth touching on this for a moment as well, because I think this is one of the misconceptions I see many organizations make, is they think about those consuming developers, those app developers, the people that are building software around APIs differently in different contexts. But the way I counsel customers to think about them is a developer is a developer no matter where they sit. Mm-hmm. And your goal is to remove friction to their ability to take those core capabilities of your business represented as API products and then deploy them in many varied and interesting ways. And you do that the same for whether it's an internal app developer or an external app developer, whether it's a business partner or indeed an long tail ecosystem of app developers. You want to do it the same way. You know, you want to provide that same speed up time to hello world that you would do for any one of those audiences. So I don't know if that necessarily gets close to where does this get done, but I think I'm making the point that the thinking does need to be similar. The outside in perspective and treating developers the same needs to be the same no matter where it is.
Well, I think that where does focus on, I agree, whether it's internal or external,
right,
those developers are consuming your APIs and that experience does need to have some consistency to it.
Yeah, right.
I think even if we focused on just the internal piece, where we look at business units or even geographic business units or international business units that are spread across multiple regions, each with their own unique use cases or specific needs.
Yeah, and development practices.
Development practices. The API program that is consistent in that regards with reusable assets and things that allow developers to reach that time to market sooner or maintain governance within the organization.
Right.
I think all of that answers that where question because really for successful and mature API programs, they see that consistency no matter where that API is living within the organization.
Yeah, that's right. I think, once again, that's a strong design principle or leadership principle within the organization about how do you build around this is, you know, you recognize that consistency is important. That consistency will remove friction. That consistency means that developers aren't surprised when they move from one set of API products to another set of API products. They're able to very quickly get stuff done. But then, importantly, we're also talking now about having teams across, let's say, a geographically diverse organization, very diverse teams, do things on their own without necessarily having some central behemoth that's going to put checks and stop progress. So there is this challenge around how do you enable organizations to build everything in a federated way that's relevant to the local market, using whatever practices they have and not actually putting any kind of barriers to momentum of them getting stuff done while still having this level of consistency or this kind of, you know, risk governance. And I think part of the answer that organizations often miss is the tools and the practices. So the way we build things today has shifted a bit. There are tools that you can use, and Apigee is one of those, that allow you to put some of the governance, some of the risk management in the platform itself. You know, so you've done a little bit of work to say, here are the pre-existing design decisions we've made, implemented in our tool chain so that now when you go out to all those teams, you're actually able to say, use our tool chain. You're going to be building on top of design principles we've already formulated that make sure that our security and identity and all that sort of stuff is being managed and enables you to get to market faster with the thing that you want to build. And I think, you know, this is one example where you have that opportunity to enable all these teams at scale across the organization to go and do stuff to build the APIs while having some built-in constraints.
Yeah, it's an important piece of the puzzle because we also often get asked the question to balance risk versus speed or speed versus risk.
That's right, yeah.
In which case, yes, okay, I want to get to market faster, but I can't do it at the risk of security vulnerabilities or messing something up along the way. And to your point, Apigee has those tools that are in place, policies and procedures and functionalities that allow you to balance that where you do not have to give or take one over the other. You can do both because the tools are in place to allow you to have both.
That's right. And the point is, in the past, those tools that gave you the control were procedural. They were processes. Where increasingly now, those tools are built into the fabric of the tool set that you're deploying across your organization. So Apigee is a part of that. And once again, good CI/CD tool chains give you some ability to do the same. You can build the controls that you need into the fabric of the tools you put in the hands of developers. And those tools aren't seeking to constrain their ability to get stuff done. Indeed, it enables their ability to get stuff done with some of those constraints built in.
Yeah. Now, when is another interesting conversation, because we could take that as when should you start building APIs in your organization?
Right.
Like now versus when, in terms of speed, how fast can you get to market? When is it optimal to deploy? How do we potentially work in something like a CI/CD pipeline help us automate the task? There's a lot of elements to this. Again, I think it all falls back on API products. If you had any other product within your organization that you were managing with its own lifecycle, you would care about things like continuous integration and continuous delivery of that product out to market. APIs are no different.
Yeah, absolutely. I would choose to respond to the when kind of question by thinking about how you do multiple things in parallel to help the organization take a large step forwards on top of an investment in something like Apigee. And so what I mean by that, there's a bunch of things that you're going to be doing in the first, 6 to 12 months around the platform and the operational tools, the tool chains, the development tools. So you're going to spend some time figuring out what are the design best practices for your organization. What are the risks and the balances that you're going to create with aspects of Apigee's platform like shared flows or aspects of your tool chain to help sort of contain for those. But in parallel, you're also thinking about how do you build teams and capabilities around this in your organization. So in parallel, you might be thinking about how do you incubate some of this different perspective of product thinking around the IT assets that you're bringing out on APIs. How do you incubate some of that thinking in one part of the organization and then kind of build that awareness and build that different mind share as part of building on the success of the platform itself?
Yeah, and that's probably one of the biggest questions we see even in some of our mature customers is when do I begin the adoption of that program across those business units? And so you could start off small, you can start to build some awareness internally, but at some point in time, you realize that you need to expand this throughout your organization. And so there is a strategic win. Do I do this in that conversation?
Yeah, and there's different moments in time. You know, I might talk about one customer of ours that's done this very well over the space of 2 or 3 years. And the things, this is a, you know, a large American telecommunications company, and the things that they did in the first kind of 12 months of their program were a lot of the technical foundations and getting their head around what, you know, great design meant for APIs in their organization. But then increasingly in the kind of 12 to 24 months, they were creating the operational efficiencies that meant they could federate out to the organization with a lot of speed to market, like an easy button you press to sort of build and publish APIs that benefits from, you know, all that previous design thinking. But I just want to underscore one other sort of journey they went on, which is really more of a leadership level. So when you if you're the C-suite and you're thinking about how do you prosecute this sort of strategy, the leadership that they had running this on a sort of practical day-to-day level, sort of director or VP level, the leadership initially was someone who was able to bring innovation to the organization, able to change the way that they did things with C-suite kind of air cover that removed obstacles. And so quite rightly that the first period of this, as you're shaping a new way of getting stuff done in the company, needs to be led from a place of innovation and moving fast and breaking rules and whatever it might be. But then recognizing that you get to a period now of more widespread adoption and you've got people in your organization that aren't risk takers, that they know their business and they know how things work and they're not going to be the first movers within your organization. They want to wait till there's a level of maturity. And that's a point of inflection. That's a point where you need to shift the powerhouse, the engine of your API program from being, you know, sort of starting out with quick innovation and sort of early adoption to now it's more widespread mass adoption. And that means there's a difference in how you lead and how you organize those teams. And it's an opportunity for you to think about bringing in an established leader within your organization to take the reins at that point as a program shifts in its nature.
Yeah, and I think that's a great segue into the why. And it's probably one of the easiest parts of this topic that we can talk about, which is there's any number of reasons why you should be doing this.
Right, yeah.
And I've talked with customers about this concept, trying to bring APIs, especially as products, into a more relatable conversation that does resonate with management, leadership, the business side. And I've come up with this kind of redefinition of what is an API.
Yeah.
And one of the definitions that I have is application people interfaces.
Right.
Instead of application programming interfaces, which sounds way too technical and really doesn't capture the essence of what we are talking about
today. Yeah, the opportunity of them.
Right. Yeah. Application people interfaces is about connecting your business and technology to people, to the customers that you are trying to attain value from, right?
Yes, right.
And so if we can think of the why in terms of you all have customers, you're all trying to meet the needs and demands and expectations of those customers.
Yeah.
You're trying to get to market faster. You're trying to come up with differentiators to innovate against or to make you stand out to those people.
In a crowded marketplace,
as well as even making the lives of your people internally more efficient.
Yes, increasing job satisfaction.
All of these become a very easy, understandable why to me.
Yeah, I agree. And look, I think there's a real nugget of truth in the center of that. And I'll tell you this. This is for me the aha moment that I had when the wool was removed from my eyes. So, and it's a story I rarely share, but I want to share it now. And it was about maybe 10, 15 years ago. Apple had released, I think, the iPhone 3. So that really dates this particular story. And they spent a lot of time and money advertising on TV around apps. So, you know, they were building awareness in the market.
There's an app for that.
Yep. This is the time of there's an app for that, right? And so you had organization after organization suddenly scrambling to say, what's our app response, right? In this context, there was a scrappy developer that over the course of a weekend built a train timetable application. And this was a big city in Australia. And put it out in the marketplace, a free downloadable app that basically showed you, if you said what platform you're at, it would say when the next train was due. It was enormously popular, really simple design premise that replicated the way that the platforms show the train timetable information in the UI, massively popular, shot to the top of the free app chart in Australia. And then predictably, the developer got a letter from the train company saying, take it down, you're breaching our intellectual property. It got to the media and the press. I mean, I think it got to the media. It was helped a little bit by the fact the developer actually worked for one of the largest media organizations in the world. But the press got a hold of the story, and it was a real David and Goliath story, right? Mm-hmm. Little developer does good, creates something that people find value in, and the big train company comes and shuts it down. And the train company said in its defense, well, look, this whole app space is so new. We haven't figured out yet what we're supposed to do. Maybe we're supposed to build these apps, right? And besides which, the developers using the published paper timetables, which are never accurate because there's delays and track works and all that kind of stuff. And a colleague of mine came to me recognizing that I led a product team in our organization. I was in a telecommunications company. And this IT colleague came and challenged me and said, if that was us, would you have shut down the little, you know, developer done good? I knew I had to have a well thought out answer or lose the relationship with this IT developer, you know, leader. And I came back the next day and I said, you know what occurs to me? And here's the aha moment. The train company is not in the business of building mobile apps. I mean, it's a new space. What the hell do they know about how to build a good mobile app? They should just focus on running the train network and be good at doing that. And by virtue of running the train network, they're going to have to know where every train is at any given moment and update those screens that are shown of all the platforms on when the next train is due. So publish that as an API and put that out to the market and let anyone go out and build an app. And in fact, you can let this kind of Darwinian environment of evolution take place where the best experiences are the ones that get the most traction with customers. Yeah. And here's a couple of the really big insights that I had around that. One is that the capability to go and bring these stuff to customers, maybe the best capability isn't an employee that you've hired. Maybe it sits outside of your organization. Most likely, the innovation and talent isn't in your company.
Yep.
It sits outside of your company. Maybe this area isn't something that you need to be good at. You can rely on the fact that other organizations, other individuals can be good at this, and you can just focus on the stuff that's core to your business. And the last bit of insight was, actually, if you do this, then you have the opportunity that all these external participants, you know, app developers, might start building additional value around your core business. You know, maybe you've got the, the restaurant or cafe that's near a train platform that can throw something in there around when the next train's due. Or maybe, you know, there's even some meeting appointment reminder service that can tell customers what time to catch a train in order to get to a particular location for a particular appointment. The point being, it's actually helping bring people to your core business, which is getting bums on seats on the train. Can I say bum?
Yes, absolutely. And just to kind of simplify it, I've told customers the same thing, which is basically, there's no way in the world you should expect that your team is going to be able to come up with every single possible idea.
Right, right.
And so if you expose that out, then they have the opportunity to innovate for you. And one of our customers, AccuWeather, has done a great job of basically productizing their data and distributing it out to external developers.
Right.
And they say specifically that they did that in order to allow others to build the next big thing.
Yeah, right, right, exactly. And look, what's not better by stitching in weather intelligence into it? There's so many, once again, so many joined up experiences they can be helping to power by stitching weather information into those. And the great part is, as those external developers pick up and use AccuWeather and then spend time investing in building additional elements of the experience around that weather information, they're actually adding value to AccuWeather's core product. Their weather information starts informing all sorts of parts of what you do in your day, whether you go for a fly somewhere or whether you just want to go to the park and celebrate a birthday. The weather information starts informing on all those things. Maybe it even forms the way that insurance gets quoted for micro insurance moments, like rather than insuring your car 365 days a year, you in the future insure your car just for the journeys where you take it out of the garage and drive it around. And maybe those insurance things are informed by AccuWeather's weather information, which helps have an impact on the risk of driving around that particular day. The point being, all these things are actually adding to the value of that core asset, which is weather information. All right, so why don't we have a look at our question of the day? And actually, I love this question, because it starts with a how, which we haven't really talked about.
Yeah.
So the how is, how do we think about bringing on a product owner? If we don't have an API product owner, is that something we need to get? How do we think about, you know, tackling that part of our organization?
Yeah, and I think that also gets into the entire concept, which we didn't talk about today, is about your API team and what that looks like and
that's
the
right.
priorities of who do you hire first and when. That's a whole nother episode for us to talk about.
But at a high level, I think it recognizes the fact that perhaps you need some new skills and you need to think about reframe the different responsibilities across the different kind of roles that you have as part of this.
So my argument is that an API product owner is probably the most important or critical role that you can bring in to your API program. And you should bring this role in as quickly as possible, maybe even one of the first roles when you were actually looking at that. And I realize this, again, is a mindset shift, because most organizations who are looking at APIs as fully an integration play are not looking at this as a product or building API products. So the thought of bringing in a product owner or a product manager specifically to manage design of APIs is relatively shocking to, I think, a lot of organizations.
Right.
But again, if we outline everything that we've talked about, the who, what, where, when, and why of API products, you begin to realize that having somebody who can help build that strategy, who can help design and understand what consumers' needs are and what you want to specifically build.
Right.
If I go back to what I've said a couple of times, you have other products in your organization. And if you are managing products with product owners,
right,
it's really no different.
Yeah, right.
And so you have to bring somebody in who's going to help you and guide you through this entire process.
You know, you're exactly right. And I think the reality is it's the point of greatest leverage for the program that you're establishing. And as you said before, whether it's intentionally going to a new market with a set of capabilities, or if it's just integration, both of those things are still the same thing. They still need that product owner outside in thinking in order to make them successful. And so that product owner role, I say it's the point of greatest leverage because it is the point around which you bring that strong point of view that makes sure that what you build is fit for purpose and isn't simply wasted effort. And not to mention all the additional value add then around driving awareness and adoption across the organization that would come in time as well. So I agree. I think that really is an important role to put them up front. And indeed, I think increasingly we're going to see new types of roles in many organizations around that productization of IT. Eventually, I think the traditional product teams within non-digital organizations will actually understand this space and be capable of leading in this space. But we're probably a decade away from getting to that point.
Yeah, but I think that's part of the second part of that conversation, which is, can I take an existing product owner in my organization somewhere and move them into this API product owner space?
Right.
And the answer is absolutely.
Yeah, because I think it takes a while to get there, though.
Yeah, the skill set, again, when you're looking at an outside-in perspective, what do my customers want and how can I meet those needs? I think it's all part of the building of and designing of APIs. But yes, I agree. Oh, I think over time, it's going to become more natural to share that responsibility throughout the organization.
Yeah, it'll be part of what product managers do. But actually, just one interesting or key point, I think, on what you just said. If it were me and I needed to appoint a product owner for this kind of new initiative within my organization, I think I would look to my existing product teams to go and identify that individual. Someone that's closer to the product thinking that can then bring that to the IT organization that's building the APIs, more so than starting within my IT organization and trying to create that product thinking. So I think that's a great start to go and look at your product teams and see someone who's close to that, because the benefit then too is as you grow that awareness and that understanding of how APIs are a key enabler in how you go to market, this person can bring that to the rest of the product team and helps her grow that awareness over time.
And with that, I can't say there's a better way to end.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alicia. Appreciate it. And of course, thank you all for listening to the show. If you have questions, please find us on social media, share your thoughts and questions, and join us next week for another episode of That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.